Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12 tonight. We hope to, in the next few messages, develop and begin to build a framework for the importance of the local church. What a blessing it is that our God, who is our individual Savior, determined the importance and established the importance for corporate worship. It's a blessing to think about how the church was established. It was God's intention that brothers and sisters in Christ could come together. And we say, heard it at lunch today, we're just country people, amen? Just country people. A lot of us, we have common ground, you and I. But I believe that we could go to a church in downtown Atlanta, and as angry as I would be to have to drive in downtown Atlanta, I could go to a Bible-believing church, and I'd find people that they maybe hadn't spent much time out in the country, and they might think I'm a bumpkin, but we find common ground in Christ. And that's the beauty of salvation, and that's why our individual relationship with Christ is sweetened because of the corporate worship one with another. And so what a blessing it is we're able to come in to the local church. And then we could leave this country. And you could go to Zimbabwe, Germany, China, and whatever form or fashion that you're in a local church in, you could find common ground with Christ. And I think to me that's just it's an apologetic, or it's a defense of the faith, or it's a proof that God is real and that Christ did die and that Christ did get up and walk out of the grave, is the fact that Christian people, no matter what your background is, your race, your creed, the previous religions, previous sins, regardless of who you are, you can find common ground in Christ. What else can we find common ground in? I mean, we can maybe agree on politics. For one short period of time, me and Dane has been talking about Florida State and Clemson leaving the ACC. We're kind of on the same team right now, right? But you wait, when we get in our conference, we're going to be playing, we'll be rivals again. We can't find common ground. We know we can't find common ground in what kind of vehicle to drive around here, amen? But where do we find our common ground in the local church? In Christ. And what a beautiful thing it is. We may have different backgrounds. We've got different social statuses. We've got different economic statuses. We've got different futures and different histories. But we find common ground in the local church in Christ. And so we'll look tonight, beginning in verse 12 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Well-known scripture, we know. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. That's why we find common ground in Christ. Amen. Is that the salvation that we have is all, it's the same. It was the same blood spilled. It was the same effort. It was the same conviction. It's the same response. The same Holy Ghost. The same Jesus Christ. The same God in heaven. We all deal with God on a level playing field. All the other stuff on earth and who you are individually, earthwise, doesn't matter. You stand before God and you stand at the foot of the cross on level ground. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Now look at this. This is where we're going to spend the majority of our time tonight. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, if I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. I always like to point out things that we think do not matter. You know, doctors can't even figure out why we got a spleen. And we take them out all the time. The most that a spleen does in the medical world, correct me if somebody knows different, is rupture. And they have to cut it out. But what my Bible tells me is even the things that we deem not necessary are necessary. God's given us and equipped us with everything. And guess what? There's some people part of the body we can't find. What do they do? Look at them and just a glance at these people. What's their purpose? Guess what? My Bible tells me they're necessary. They're needed. And those members, 23, verse 23, of the body which were which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, our thought tonight, verse 27, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after the miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. I'm going to turn over to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 4. If you'd like to turn there with me, please do. I'll give you just a moment. Keep your place in 1 Corinthians, but look at Ephesians 4 for just a moment. Verse 7 of Ephesians 4, if you're there, say amen. Amen. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that ascended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Now look at verse 11. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Thinking of this body of Christ, we're part of a body with the head being Christ. We all have different purposes in the local church. We all have different responsibilities. The Bible teaches me that there's none more important. There's none that are less. We just have different jobs and responsibilities to do. We have different actions to take. We have different roles that we play as our own body. And the Bible uses these examples as a means of making wise the simple. Amen. We can understand this thought. It's important to have feet. We use feet to move and travel and go. We use legs, ankles, legs, knees, head. I was thinking head, shoulders, knees, and toes. Amen. We have the body parts that we cannot live without. What we see on the outside, there's things on the inside. There's many people that have lived without them successfully. But to take away, I need my feet, but if you take away my brain, I can't tell my feet where to go, right? I need my hands to grab and to pick up, but if I don't have any muscles on the inside, I don't have the strength to do it. The body, all the parts and the pieces tie in, and all the parts on the inside that work together and do things, even things we don't know, we don't understand. I'm somebody, if I get something, I like to keep my spare parts if I get something. They took my tonsils out when I was 7 years old. I was worried I might need them one day. I hadn't needed them yet. Everything has a purpose, don't it? And in the body of Christ, we all need to work together. That's the purpose. That's the goal. We all need to work together for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. We just need to realize that we're all different parts of the body. It doesn't make the hand greater than the foot, the eye greater than the ear. It doesn't. We need each other. We need our capabilities, our responsibilities, our abilities. We need our goals and our dreams and our aspirations, and we need our ideas. We need all of it. You can come and you maybe think, well, I don't contribute anything. I just come to church. You are as important as the pastor of the church. You're as important as anybody else in here. See, we've in the great difficulty that we face and we see in the church today is either the church has been turned into a business or been turned into an entertainment venue. And we take people, preachers, singers, teachers, bank accounts, whatever it is, we lift those things up, and those that handle those, manage those, administrate those, whatever, and we put those people on a pedestal. We must be cautious and must be careful. Now don't put anybody down. Or remember, you're nothing, or I'm just as good as you, and you're just as good as me. It's important that we honor and respect and realize that we all play different parts. We all have different roles and different responsibilities. If we didn't have people to hear, what would be the point in someone to preach? If we didn't have people to listen, what would be the point in someone to sing? If we didn't have people in the building, what would be the point of someone to clean? If we didn't have the point of little, if we didn't have the little children here in the church, what would be the point of someone to prepare a lesson and snacks and work hard to teach them and grow them? We need all the pieces and all the parts of the body. They play an important responsibility. They play an important role. So tonight we first are going to look at the mindset of the local church. The mindset of the local church. Well, Christ is the head. So our mindset first should be Christ-like. Verse 27, now ye are the body of what? Christ, and members in particular. It's important that all the pieces, all the parts of the body, remember who the head of the body is. And it's important that all the parts of the body reflect the head of the body. It's important that at the end of the day, being a Christ-like local church is first and foremost in our minds. Why? Because my Bible teaches me, we'll get to this in just a few moments, back in verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 12. The Bible says that this body, it hath many members. This body is a growing body. There are, I heard a statistic today that at the rate people are turning to Christ in some part of Asia, they're guessing by 2050, if the Lord tarries, billions of Christians in Asia, at the rate people are turning to Christ. What a blessing that is. We would love to see that. If the Lord tarries and time comes, guess what? This body is growing. And that's what it needs to do. That's the responsibility. I don't want this body to grow, but I want the body of Christ to grow. That's the goal. That's the purpose. That's the idea. And a Christ-like mindset is how that takes place. What does that mean? That means you're, so look at it this way. You are an extension of this body. Whatever part you play, when you walk outside these doors, you are extending this body out to this community. And if you are not Christ-like in this community, not only does that make you look bad, but that makes this church look bad. And that makes your preacher look bad. But most importantly, that makes our Savior look bad. So our church should be Christ-like. The local church must be Christ-like. Why? Because we're connected in the spirit to the head of the body, Jesus Christ. He's our head. He's our leader. He sets the standard. There's much to be said about children. Growing up, I always looked just like my dad. You can look at a picture up until I grew this thing on my face. I always looked just like my dad. And I see people that went to school with my dad, they're like, man, you're a spitting image of your daddy. And I got my own kids now. Not only do they look like you, but they act like you. Right? Shelby tells me that Isla, that little girl, has got the worst temper in our family. I mean, we have to pray for us. Shelby says, she's got your temper. I know she, when she gets mad, she's got my look. I can see it. I'm like, man, I'm going to have to get myself right so that she's not imitating me. But it's almost ingrained. It's ingrained in these children, ain't it? Their little actions, little things they do when they get mad, when they're happy. I forget what it, Riley, I love it, because UPS man will come drop something off, say, Daddy, come look out the window. Little country boy, amen. There are some things that he's picked up that, hey, they're independent. They will stand up for themselves, and I'm proud as pudding for that. But there's some things that I have that I don't want them to take on, amen. Well, guess what? Being in the body of Christ, being Christ-like, there is nothing within Christ that we should not want to take on. He has no flaws. He has no negative things. And I could bring my children up here, and you could bring your children up here, and we could compare, and you could look at their little hands. You could look at their little feet. You could look at their eyes and their ears and their noses, and you could see that they have characteristics and qualities that Shelby and I have. And same for your children. They bear body parts that look like yours. Why? Because they're the fruit of you. They're your fruit. So the reality is that they should. They shouldn't look like anybody else. They might be a problem. They need to look like you. Why? They're a product of you. They came from your loins. And so they are going to bear characteristics of you in the way that the local in the local church we should be Christ-like, meaning that there are part that I in my attitude, in my the way I treat people and how I act in the community, how I act in church, how I act in home, that those things would reflect Jesus Christ. Why? Because I'm part of his body. I've been washed in his blood. I've been brought in through the Holy Spirit of God into the family of God, part of the body of Christ. And I should look like I'm part of that body. Three of the nastiest customers I ever had at the bank were preachers. And I was trying to think of a good joke today because I was watching Wake Forest play Georgia. And you know, Wake Forest, the demon deacons. Can I get an amen? I mean, the deacons, the demon deacons. I can't find a preacher team like that. But then I got to thinking, the three nastiest customers that I remember from the bank were preachers. What a shame that is. They need a good old-fashioned whipping, just being honest with you. They're nasty, mean people. It should never be that way that the extension of the body of the Christ in the community are nasty and mean people, unless you're at church. Well, you get them around church. We shouldn't be that way. Our Christian character should be in church, in home, in the community. Wherever we go, we should have Christian, Christ-like character. Why? What did I say? You reflect yourself. You reflect your family. You reflect your church. You reflect your preacher. You reflect, most importantly, God our Father. Being Christ-like in the community. And people act like that you're asking them to do a lot by being Christ-like. It's like, don't come get in if you ain't prepared to live like you're part of the body of Christ. We're wasting our time if we're not Christ-like in our church, in our community, in our homes. The mind of the local church should be Christ-like because he's our head. We saw there in Ephesians 4 and 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The mindset of local church should be Bible teaching. You'll find people, preachers, teachers, leaders, church members, they don't believe the Bible. And it ought not be that way. I told you not too long ago about the clip that I saw of this preacher that gets up, gives a disclaimer. She said, her words, as I said, she was a preacher, she's a woman, no offense, women, but she says, just a disclaimer here. Paul was being a jerk when he wrote this. I had to rewind and listen to that again. He said, Paul was being a jerk when he wrote this. You know what that tells me? There's somebody there that doesn't believe the Bible. Guess what? There's men standing behind pulpits doing the same thing. There's people sitting in pews doing the same thing. There's people writing tithe checks that's doing the same thing. We must believe the Bible. We must teach the Bible. We must live the Bible. And guess what? That's offensive to the world. No, I don't, you know, we love what I preached on Wednesday night, handling snakes. We can all agree on that, right? Crazy. But we get on those issues, homosexuality. God is love. Female pastors, she means well. Transgender, they're just confused. Guess what? They need Jesus. And we need to be a light of Christ to them. And guess what? That may mean offending them. But if you're offending someone based on what the Word says, they're mad at God. They're not mad at you. If we do things in love, with a loving spirit and a loving attitude, standing on this Word as a Bible-believing church, I will not stand before God and answer for beating somebody over the head, taking something out of context, attacking somebody with the Scriptures. I'll stand before God, I believe, that I won't have to answer for misleading someone. We miss the local church, a local church that does not believe the Bible should be shut down. I'm saying all kinds of controversial stuff tonight. I'm glad y'all love me. You may not by the time we're done, but I love you. People say, all these churches shutting down, closing down, it's a terrible thing. And guess what? There's some, I've been in them, some churches that, man, you just wish they could get injected with life again. And it breaks your heart to see some churches that used to stand, that were once thriving and were once growing. And it breaks my heart. I've been in them, and I love, there's some good godly people in some churches that are struggling right now. But there's some churches out there that, man, I hate they're closing down. Guess what? It may be the best thing for the community that they do. Why? Because they don't believe the Bible. That sounds harsh. It's the truth. If you don't believe the Bible, there's no sense in opening the doors. You're just misleading people. Bible teaching. Verse 12, what I referenced a little earlier. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Guess what? The other mindset of this church should be evangelistic. Heard the term today of a church being, churches, some viewed as a country club. Closed doors. You got to be something to get in the door. Country, that's fine. If that's what, you know, if that's you, all right. And if you're a member of one, that's fine. But the church is not set up to be that way. The church is not a closed door place. There's only so many can get in. You got to be this person to get in. Also, the church should not be secretive. There's some places it's hard to know what's going on in there. It scares me to think that there's churches out there where they don't want anybody but the people on the inside to know what's going on. That's a cult. A church should have open doors, evangelistic doors, evangelistic arms, evangelistic body to reach out and touch people in the community. I've heard stories of pastors, and especially inner city areas, bigger churches will dress, these pastors will dress themselves up as homeless people, and they'll come walk in a church kind of like an undercover boss, I guess, something like that. They'll come in and they'll sit through a service and they'll take mental account of how many people speak to them or shake their hand or welcome them. At the end of the service, the pastor, dressed up, grungy, dingy, homeless person, comes, walks, stands behind the pulpit, takes the beard and the hair and the grungy off, and confronts an entire church that didn't welcome them. My goodness. We should be an evangelistic church. Now, I'm not going to welcome somebody in here that's going to hurt somebody, right? I mean, we're here to protect this flock. But also, we shouldn't assume anybody that doesn't look just like us is here to hurt us. Evangelistic. We don't oftentimes think about those walking in the door. We think about those on the outside. But guess what? The people that walk in, the people around in this community, we have a responsibility to them. The local church. A Christ-like local church, a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching local church is 110% going to be evangelistic. And there's people that come to church, and little mountain communities, probably the worst for it, maybe just because that's all I know, you know what they used to be into. Oh, you know who he used to be married to. You know, the church people. The worst. You know who she, you know what I'm talking about. You know who she used to be married to, who she used to run around with. Is that evangelistic? Not at all. Not at all. Man, I'm glad Jesus confronted me with who I used to be. I'm glad the Holy Ghost showed me what I once was. And when he forgave me, when I repented of my sins, it was cast as far as the east is from the west. And with God, there is no more. That's who they used to be. That's who they used to run with. This is what they used to do. But when I stand before a holy God, his son says, that's my child. When someone walks in this church, when we see someone in this community, remember, you're an extension of Mountain View Baptist Church. You have the same responsibility at Ingalls Grocery Store on aisle 10 as you do sitting on row 7. The same responsibility. That person that you see that comes into your mind, this or that about of these preconceived notions. Now, we don't want a bunch of troublemakers. Can I get an amen? Amen. There's some people that could walk through these doors and we're better off for them going on because they're troublemakers. But guess what? There's some people, they come in, and God wants to take that troublemaking away from them. And if we are closed-minded against him, God may not be able to. We may create a bigger problem. Are you tracking what I'm saying tonight? We should be evangelistic. I heard about the tracks out on the trails, and I appreciate y'all giving the tracks out. What a blessing that is, that the gospel could be shared wherever we go. Whether it's tracts or a kind word or sharing your testimony with somebody, even just, where's the, Where's the smiling sign? Smiling is good for the soul. You realize being kind to someone could be sharing the gospel with them? That they could see something inside of you. They're having a bad day. They're having a hard time. That may be the only chance you got to share with them. You may only have a split second. But a God bless you and a smile goes a long ways. Look for those opportunities. Pray for those opportunities. Why? Because wherever you go, your responsibility is to God your Father because of Jesus Christ your Son, His Son, led by the Holy Ghost of God, to share the gospel and be evangelistic to a lost and dying world. We get this "my four and no more" attitude. My family's saved and I'm good. And we forget about people out in the world. And guess what? There's some people that ain't going to change their mind. There's doors. You could give me names. We could take the whole, we could pile up in the church bus, take the whole thing to somebody's house, knock on the door, present the gospel, and they'll never change their mind. And one day they'll die and they'll go to hell. But guess what? It's not my responsibility to determine whether they will or whether they won't. It's my responsibility to go and tell them about Jesus Christ. They will stand and give an account if they reject Jesus. But I will give an account if I don't present Jesus. We should be an evangelistic church. We should be community-minded. And my goodness, we're blessed here at Mountain View. Amen. Appreciate how Mountain View touches the community. It's a blessing. And I promise you, I've told you, and I'm going to say it again. I'm not telling anybody not to. I want you at Mountain View. But the past 8-9 years, I have been in a slew of churches. Everybody knows what a slew is, right? I got to check, make sure. More than two, Dwayne says. I've been in a bunch of different churches. And the spirit that you feel when you walk in Mountain View Baptist Church, do not take it for granted. Go visit here and there. And don't go on Easter and Christmas when everybody's got their A game on. We go and it's like a reality TV. It's maybe not reality TV. It's like these people on the internet with videos of their life and whatever. They show you what they want you to see. Amen. We put it on Easter and Christmas. We want people to enjoy and come in here on a Sunday night and a Wednesday night. That's where you get a feel of what's going on at Mountain View Baptist Church. It's not this way everywhere. We're not perfect, are we? Not every service is a chandelier swinging kind of service. We have ups and we have downs, but we have a community-minded church at Mountain View Baptist Church. There's things that go on and there's things that happen behind the scenes that none of us know, things people do, and I thank the Lord for that every day. A lot of times people come to me and rather than saying, "Hey, could you do this for somebody?" It's done. Thank the Lord. Guess what? That's a mark of a Christ-like body. We need to be community-minded. We need to be community-minded. And I appreciate you for that. Blessing and missions is just one part of being community-minded. I've been in churches. And I'm just being honest. I've been in churches where the attitude is, well, we give to missions, we don't do anything else. And giving money to missions is a blessing. I believe we're called to support global missions, local missions. But you will get more out of going and serving yourself. Going and helping somebody. Elderly person needs a ramp, guess what? They get a ramp built, don't they? Somebody slips and falls, guess what? I get phone calls. Hey, we need to do this for somebody. We need to take care of this for them. Praise the Lord. That's what we should be doing. God doesn't want our money alone. I believe it's a blessing that we're touching ministries all over the world right now in mission support. And thank the Lord for it. But God needs our time. God needs our prayers. God needs our dedication. Guess what? You say, well, I ain't got no money to give. I ain't got no time to give. Hey, you can pray about it. I talked to somebody the other day, and I apologize. I forgot who it was, but been praying about something. The church is praying for it. They said, I can feel the prayers. That's being community-minded, church. Like I told you this morning, we often say, oh, I'll pray for you. Get in the car and don't think another thing about it. What's bad, there's times the next text you get on your phone, that person's died. The next text you get on your phone, that person's laid up in the hospital. And we forgot about it. We put ourselves together. Act like we're sorry. Act like we've been there. We've been praying. Maybe I'm the only one. But you know what being community-minded is? Lord, make me more like you. Make me Christ-like. Take your word and mold me. And Lord, help me to care for my fellow church members and my community. Help me, Lord, help me to think about that person. Put them on my mind. You know, we're so busy in our society. So busy. I feel pulled in 50 different directions, don't you? And then something comes up and I've slipped my mind. I want to be better. Lord, help me to be more community-minded. Lord, help me to hear someone say, well, I'm having this procedure. I'm having this surgery. I'm dealing with this spiritual battle. I've got financial trouble. Lord, if it takes waking me up in the middle of the night, which half the time for me, that's what it is, because that's when God knows he can get a hold of me. Put people on my heart. Let me care for people. We should all be seeking that, shouldn't we? Lord, let me be that vessel that's community-minded. And guess what? The only thing you may be able to do is pray for the community of this church, Tuxedo, Zirconia, Hendersonville, Henderson County. The only thing I can do is pray. Praise the Lord. We need some praying people. Can't you feel it when you know a saint of God that prays for you and prays for your community? Can't you feel it when they pass on? We can feel it. We can feel it. You can tell. We've got to stand up and fill those gaps, amen? And a lot of us think, well, it's just that you get to that ripe old age, that's all I got to do. No, no. The Bible says pray without ceasing. That means you can be at work and you can pray. We had the phone up here for a while, didn't we? Miss Sandra let us borrow that landline. That ancient piece of artillery. We've got a direct line to heaven. We come into the throne room. We can call on Jesus Christ. He's an intercessor. And when we don't have the power or the strength to pray, the Holy Ghost of God is praying for us. What a blessing it is. But we should strive to care more. We'll say, I care so much. I don't have more room. It's an amazing thing. Is your spirit in the Lord will grow. You can't fill up Christian love and Christian care. You can't exhaust it. Once you think you do, you get humbled real fast.